Welcome everyone to our fourth episode. Wow! Fourth one. So this episode, we're gonna talk about a very compelling topic. No, I'm kidding. It's, do you miss concerts? It's a very straightforward question. I think it's a very subtle, we are looking for people who miss concerts too, so let's just go and cry together in this room. But yeah, it's we've decided to start a room that's maybe a bit more casual this time. So there's that, but I feel like we will go into different tangents later on. So we're glad you are listening and you're catching us on our fourth episode. I'm with my co-host Shanna, who just recently got featured in a Sri Lanka newspaper talking about his other first podcast called Chana Chana Chana. So congrats again, Chana. How are you feeling?
Yeah, hi Meg. It was a great experience because, you know, to be recognized by your own country, right? Someone from your own country, yeah. That it's a great feeling. And also just want to say that in the article, this was on a Sri Lankan news site called online newspaper called themorning.lk. Mm-hmm. So they saw my podcasting events on, I think they discovered me through Clubhouse because I host a couple of rooms on Clubhouse.
Yeah.
And so they wanted to, reach out to me, and then they wanted to feature me. And I did mention about this podcast, Almost a Music Podcast, and you on the article. So so it's there already.
Yay.
Yeah, and then we are doing the fourth episodes, and we've been thinking about, I think this topic is probably one of the main topics we've been thinking, although we never did a official episode, but this was really something we would always talk about. So so I hope you're doing okay these days, Meg. I hope the situations are better where you are.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is, but like energetically, I feel kind of odds change. But also, like, there's this creative surge of wanting to do lots of projects, but at the same time, just finding that balance between what's been happening in the world and in the cosmos, I guess. How are you, Channa?
I'm doing pretty good. I've been busy a little bit, and I've been mm-hmm. doing a lot of episodes and a lot of rooms, and I've been spending a lot of my late evenings on Clubhouse, and
right.
And we did a room last night, which is morning for you. So it's been a pretty exciting week. So going to these concerts, I think we should start with, like, what was your first concert?
I'm not sure if it was a mall show. I couldn't remember which exact artist I was able to watch, but it was one of those free mall shows that I would watch. So I'm guessing it's Jason Castro, the American Idol tour, in Trinoma. If I'm not mistaken, that was one of the early signs of getting into the music scene, until it got more into after the mall shows. I went to gigs, then I went to concerts, then to music festivals. So, which is like a whole new world out there. So could you still remember which and how old were you when you attended your first show?
Yeah, so I was, I think my first concert, maybe I've been to like local, probably like local, like, because Sri Lanka also like Philippines, so there are like, you know, like fiestas and stuff, right? So there are shows like local people will see. Yes. I've been to those before, but the first sort of proper concert was in 2000. That time I was in Sri Lanka, and it was called Maroon Town from UK. So that was my first concert. That was in year 2000. Then after that, I think I probably watched like one concert like every year after that, 2002, 2003. And then once I came to the Philippines, that's where everything sort of opened up. I also remember going to the, I went through that American Idol phase also. There were a lot of, because it was so, it was always there on TV, right, that time. And there were a lot of great artists actually came from American Idol. So I remember going and watching David Cook and David Archuleta.
Oh my God. Yes. Oh my gosh.
This was, David Cook was like, kind of like rock, right? So I was quite drawn to him. So I went to the MOA concert. I couldn't even see him on the stage because I was so far away. That was like one of the first.
Oh my God, Chana. I don't know if you remember, but I'm laughing. There's this local TV show that David Archuleta guested in. That I knew I was there. Like, I did attend that. And it's just a funny memory for me, like, of the lengths that I would go to just see, you know, a live show of an artist that I would like to catch live. So right. I'm sure, like, even if we've gone to so many shows, like, there's still that rush of, oh my gosh, like, just wanting to catch a live show of, even if it's an artist that you're not really familiar with, but you're curious about hearing them live, it's such a different feeling, like being a music fan in general, right?
Yeah, actually, that's, I think going to concerts really made me be more open-minded about music, because I kind of, sometimes I get surprised that I would go to a show and I thinking, oh, this is not going to be that great, and then I would walk out of that show with so much, like, you know, excitement, because sometimes they will blow your mind, right? So it's because what happens is, especially the pop artists, what happens is what the way they record, it's very artificial, right? The music is quite artificial, but when they perform it live, especially if there's a band involved, then it's totally different experience. And I remember going to a lot of these pop shows and just changed my mind about the artists when I came out. And they were really good singers and really putting up a real great show when they do it live.
It's such a different experience witnessing them live, and like that they're, and how they establish that rapport with the audience, and how much of the exchange happens between not just them performing, but like the crowd really acknowledging their presence. It's such a different like light to see it. And like what you said with being like having such an open mind after, like even more after attending the show, I feel like I could relate attending a concert to, in a way, like traveling, because you get to experience them, like, as maybe not, like, if it's not a Filipino artist, let's say they're not of the same ethnicity, like, you get to see and feel their vibe, not just through their music, but their vibe with connecting with the audience and how mostly, like, warm they feel with a Filipino crowd, especially. And how cool is that? Like, just that energy exchange between the fan and the artist, and just having to see them so unfiltered in a way, because, like, this is not like the recording. Like, this is even much better. And you get to hear, like, these different riffs that you don't hear on the record that they add. So that's like another layer to it.
Yeah, and I think like a lot of musicians or a lot of fans have this idea that it's pop songs are just easy songs, like they don't put a lot of effort to it. But actually, musically, pop songs are, I think, the hardest to play. I interviewed a lot of musicians and drummers, and they said playing a pop song is much harder than actually playing like a heavy metal song. because there's a so much complexity really they're doing that song, because most of the time when they're recording these songs they use like computers and drum machines and stuff like that, and then recreating that by a person is really hard. It's not easy to get the same feeling.
Yeah.
And I also with this same thing that I always I kind of get surprised sometimes by there would be like opening artists that was not introduced, like not announced. They would have someone to open, and that person might be so amazing as well. Like I remember going to the Story So Far gig, and then they had like Elder Brother who was like opening for them, and Elder Brother was also really good. So there are a lot of times that the opening bands are also like, because I think what happens with the opening bands is they will play their hearts out, right? Because they want
Yeah.
to like connect with the crowd. They want to like,
Yeah.
so sometimes they end up putting up a better show than the headliner.
Yeah. Yeah, and sometimes like it's just a quick set, like just maybe not even 5 songs for like an opening artist, and I love how they or whoever does the lineup for that specific like let's say show of just selecting like how they pick the artist that could go well with the opening band, especially if it's not like a tour, like not like 8123 tour where they have a list of artists talaga for the whole set, but like just picking and alchemizing who could go well or who could not even go well but like complement the main act. And like what you said, how it gets quite surprising of you don't absolutely don't have any idea like who's this opening band or artist, and then turns out like oh like they're cool.
Yeah, so this I think probably like week ago, I think it was August 7, I think they had this I think the one thing now what's happening in especially in the US is like a lot of states they're actually doing live concerts now, right? So a lot of festivals are happening. So I was watching the all-time low performance. They did a live stream of their show from SAD Summer Fest from Anaheim, California, right? So
Yeah.
this that's why I even chose that song for our intro in Instagram,
Oh.
because that was the last song they played on their set.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't able to see All Time Low here in Manila when they played
Oh.
it. So this is like the first time I could see them like at least through a live stream. So it's when I see these shows, because the previous live streams were mostly just the artists on stage and nobody is there on the audience, but this last one, because it's from a festival, so
Yeah.
there are a lot of people enjoying their stage diving and singing and dancing and all this. And then I kind of felt two emotions at that when I watched this. First, I was so jealous that these people can go to shows and we cannot. I mean, I cannot. And the second one, I felt so much hope that if that can happen somewhere else, and then that could probably happen to us also, maybe soon, right? So because it gives hope that yeah, it can be done now. So what's your thoughts on that, Meg?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like it gives me so much foresight of like how we can all get back together and experience these live shows like with even more not just gratitude but like a sense of community, in a way of I feel like we're Phoenix rising from the ashes, you know. Some sort of like that visualization of just really coming together and experiencing each other with the band, and that even like fortifies the sense of community of like this music space not just being an art of like of them like you know being showcasing their music and their art in the form of a show, but just having each other like express how much we just like being on a show, really. And I don't know how the feeling would be like in a live show after a couple, oh man, I couldn't say a couple months, I would say like more than a year now. And I'd love to catch the main though, and I think they're coming back here in October, so I hope I get to catch them. I think that's October 15. But yeah, I'm very much hopeful too that we will start, you know, getting back to these shows. But I feel like it's gonna be like going to these shows will be more intentional in a way, because people maybe after like being not on shows for a while, that sense of really being intentional with what we do, not just in, you know, participating in different things and aspects of our lives, but just going to the shows that we like or we'd like to experience. So because I feel like every show is an experience, not just that the actual set of watching the artist, but like the rituals that you do before the show, the pre-show experience, and just meeting new friends on the venue, lining up for meet and greets or like merch, and then that post-concert processing and the days that follow. So I feel like it's a whole new, different paradigm.
Yeah, with all these things that you mentioned, it seems like even though the concert probably be like 1 hour or 2 hours or something like that, the actual show would be like 2 hours, for example. We would actually spend like 24 hours on the concert, right? With all these pre-rituals, yeah. And post, and even after the show, we'll be posting photos from the event.
I know.
And, you know, all this chatting. Oh. It's like, I especially remember because I used to go to a lot of concerts in Singapore. So after the gig, I would go back to my hotel, and then I would sit on a chair, and sometimes I would go to sleep like 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, because I'd be just chatting with people about the gig and posting photos, posting it in Instagram. I used to say this in my Facebook, like after I post all these photos, I would say that, I just blasted the internet with these photos from this gig. Thank you, me later or something. And then I would go to bed.
Welcome to my life, and you have no choice.
Yeah, you can thank me later.
Yeah. It's either you follow me or you don't, but I'm still gonna post this. Yeah, it's so crazy how I would literally sometimes like cry my eyes out like in a emotional way, what that could happen to, but like crying like your eyes out like after the show of like, oh my gosh, like I actually experienced this. Like sometimes when you're used to going to shows, like at one point I don't want to keep taking videos because I want to experience the show, like be right there. So like whenever I would catch myself, like I would film a few videos, especially, you know, if you're near, and that rush. So but like when I realized, like, wait, I'm not supposed to watch from the screen. I'm supposed to watch from where I am. Like, from this vantage point, I should watch from wherever I found myself in the crowd. So, yeah, that's another thing, right? Like, how much technology has influenced the way we experience an experience. And, of course, we'd like to capture and keep that memory, not just in our heads, but, like, an actual thing that we can look back to. But I totally resonate with what you said of spending the evening, the rest of the evening, like days, like when you get off the venue, oh shit, this is gonna happen. I feel like I'm not hungry, like it's either I'm hungry or I'm not too hungry after the show. And just you just spend the evening just looking at your phone and just taking that experience, like wow.
Yeah, and so What aspect of concerts do you really miss, Meg?
I guess top of the head would be one is their opening song and the opening countdown. Because if you're, I'm sure you're familiar with like an Ayala Mall show, they would play this specific, not sure if it's like a teaser or like commercial of the past shows that they've hosted. So once it goes, because it's in a sequential way of who they brought first until who they brought last until the artist that's coming. So when the artist before them would come up, like the crowd would like shout like so crazy. And like we know that it's gonna open, like they're gonna open it up. Then there's this one Lainey show. They did this in Alabang Town Center. I was there and the band came down from the second floor, the food court, then like used the escalator down. So like we were trying to look like where are they gonna come out? And then we saw the three guys like going down. So the crowd was like, oh damn, like we were screaming like crazy. So yeah, the opening song and how they open it and like the countdown would be one of the things that I'd miss. And the next really is, I don't know, just catching myself trying to find, okay, where should I go? Do I go in the middle? Do I go to the barricade or do I stay behind? So just I miss that. And I miss the pre-concert eats.
Yeah, it's actually for me it's like the anticipation. Actually, for me it starts with like even when a show is announced and when they say that okay the tickets will be available on this date and on this time. So I would be staying in front of the computer and trying to buy the ticket like when it's immediately released. So I've done that so many times, just trying to buy it. And then luckily most of the time that I was trying to buy it, I was able to buy it. But there are few instances that I couldn't go through because there were so many people trying to buy. So anticipation starts there. And then when the concert day comes, this pre especially like lining up for the show. And I really love, and I really, most of the time I would stay in the barricade. And especially if it is a metal and rock show, I think because the crowd is older, so it's easy to get it's easy to get in line early because people would be kind of late. But if it is like a show like pop punk show or main show, it's very hard to get a barricade spot because there will be so many people before me. Because they I mean the younger fans are even more crazy, right? So they would
I
come even
know.
earlier. So it's that's something that really. And then meeting with friends, and you will meet your regular concert buddies, and then
Yeah.
and most of the shows you will find you will be introduced to someone new, and then that person will become your friend, and that person will add you on Facebook, and then you will
I know.
next show you will go and you will meet that person. And sometimes those people that you randomly meet in concerts will become your like good friends because they have the same taste and same sort of
Yeah.
sensibilities as you. Yeah, so it's all that. So that's why I said that I felt so jealous about people enjoying the show, and but I'm also at the same time I'm so hopeful and I'm looking forward to it. And what I've been doing recently, there a few weeks back I interviewed a band from the UK called the Beyond Salvation. So one of their highlights was that they were going to play in this UK festival, which is a famous festival called Bloodstock Open Air, which is a big concert, 3-day event with a lot of all the known mech rock bands that would play there. And then they were part of the show. And I've been sort of cheering them about it. I even put out like sort of announcement video with them about the event because I really want to see this event happen because I know that in the past during the pandemic, they said, okay, there's a show coming, but after a few weeks they will say it's cancelled for some reason. So when this happened, I think it was on 13th of August that event started and actually happened and they performed. Same way, I was just posting the event photos, like, you know, especially the photos with the crowd and the stage, where you can see a lot of, there's a big crowd in front of the artist performing. So I was just sharing that photos for that week. I thought that instead of people posting all this, you know, political and all this COVID things and all this divisive kind of things, maybe we should just sponsor, maybe we should just post the concert photos, right? Because that really give people a lot of hope. So I kept on posting all these cool photos I see from the artists that they're performing in live shows now. So I kept on performing. There was this another festival called Alcatraz where there's a amazing band from Ukraine called Ginger. It's a female fronted rock band. So, and she's so amazing. The vocalist is so amazing. And then I kept on posting that photos also so that people get that, maybe just share the hope that we can also have that in the future, right? Maybe near future.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like it just takes it up a notch to have these artists and like an even like a vast music taste. I'm not sure, Chana, on how parang how big of a crowd here is for the metalheads. Like, are they as big as, you know, the 81-23 crowd, or are they very niche-y? Like, if there were a production to bring them in here.
Actually it's kind of same. Because I think what happens with metalheads, so they would if they love the artist, they would come out. Because there are a lot of metalheads who are like, you know, sort of staying underground, right? Like sort of like vampires kind of thing, that they only go out for a certain time. So if there's a big event happens, yeah, there's a lot of people. And especially because a lot of people who grew up in the 90s, you know, late 90s and all these people there, there's a lot of bands that came out at that time, which is very common in the, especially if you listen to the music on a radio or in TV or whatever, right? So typically it's in the Philippines, especially they would mostly play 80s and 90s songs, right? It's very rare that they would play the new ones unless it's the most popular one. So there's a lot of people who are familiar with that. So yeah, it's a big crowd. And I remember, I think this was 2014 or 2013. There's a festival in Philippines, the Pulp Summer Slam. So I think that there were 30,000 people, I think.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people.
That's a lot. And like, whenever I would see photos from, because they had a magazine, right? I mean, they would have Pulp would have a magazine for SummerSlam. And whenever I would see the crowd, I was like, wow, like this is a whole new world for me, because like I never got to attend any type of metal rock band show. But whenever I would see the crowd, like, wow, this is so interesting. And I've been like curious on how the experience is like. So I hope I can maybe try if there's any artist that will come and visit Manila when I get back. So Chana, I'm curious like how interviewing these artists like on your podcast. You guys should check that out. It's called Chana 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 podcast. Has there been a change or like a shift in the way you see these artists after interviewing them, or like prior to even interviewing them, or like selecting them, like getting to know them more than just a performer or an artist, but like as a human person, like what you said?
Yeah, so because for us, so we see if especially if we it's an artist that we haven't seen live. If it is a new artist, for example, so we see them on mainly on like Facebook or Spotify, we just see them as an album cover and as a poster or just a photo, right? So we sort of see them, oh, they look so awesome and they sound so great, but we don't see the struggle they go through to make that music, and especially music industry being so, you know, it's so hard to navigate in with the current state of music industry, plus all the personal challenges they have. A lot of people struggle with, you know, so there's a lot of mental health problems, there's a lot of addiction, mm-hmm. there's a lot of all these family problems and social political issues. So we don't see that struggle. We only see the output that they create. So,
yes.
So for me to have these artists on the podcast, listen to the songs, and when they explain the story behind the song, the inspiration behind the song, and what are the experiences or the what are the events that actually got them to write that song. So that really gives me insight and a lot of more appreciation for the artists actually being able to put out this song, this level of like great music and great art. So I kind of see them more human. So one of the aspects of my podcast I've been sort of doing, because I see in the other interviews, especially like interviews and stuff, they will just ask you like 5 questions from the artist and that's it. It will just be about the album that they're promoting, the show that they're playing. There's no chance for them in that form of content to share
at least
their personality, who they are. So in my podcast, I really try to focus on, in a way, humanizing them, to bring out the human aspects of them, and you know, make them laugh, and maybe sometimes they would say joke on my podcast or those kind of thing, and then also to get a reaction of what they are feeling about the current events, for example, what's happening in the news, what's happening in social media about COVID and all this. So because they're also thinking, feeling human beings, right? Before they became an artist, they were always that. So they have their own feelings, emotions. And so I always try to bring that out. And I think that's what real fans need to, when they're getting connected. And I think that's where they really get connected with the artist, right? On the human level.
Yeah. Wow. Absolutely. And I feel like, gone are the days, or like we've been debunking that sense of worshiping, not in a like, you know, like worship, I don't know what's the right term, but like in a way of putting them in a box of them just an artist, like, or worshiping them as, you know, an idol, like idolizing them. That's one, like it's admiration for me, but at the same time, as you said, like just dehumanizing them brings an aspect of they're not just an art, like being an artist and putting on a show is just an expression, it's a facet of a big chunk of their life. But when they get off tour, they are mothers too, they are fathers, like they are friends, and they are possibly have a different expression of their art, like let's say in painting or and what have you, or let's say even podcasting or even film in movies other than, or even producing songs. So I feel like we've been enamored in the lens of them just putting great shows and producing them, but not so much of what and who they are behind the curtains, which is so fascinating. And I feel like the last year, the past 1.5 years, really brought that sense of, I don't know the term, Jana, like, just being human.
Yeah, correct. Bringing the human aspect. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because ultimately we are that, right? That's the reality. So Meg, what's your most, if you have to choose, I know it's hard, it's something hard to really answer this. What's your sort of favorite concert moment?
Moment.
Yeah, what
I think,
event or what artist?
could I pick two? But this one, I'll share two. The first one was, I think, the 8123 tour of the main. We organized like a surprise for the band of just raising the sign 8123 means everything to us. And when the song "We All Roll Along" came on, then we raised the signs and were like, they were like shocked with what happened and what the crowd did, and we just bawled, like we just bawled during the show. And just, it's just like a culmination of feelings of not just towards the show but with what's going on with their lives at that moment. You just get filled up with so much elation, but at the same time emotion of like just a whole ball of just different emotions coming at you at that moment. And I feel like it's quite reflective of where you are in your life at that moment, like whether that's college or high school, or like once you've graduated. I feel like there's a different charge attached to you being a person and existing in that exact moment for a show. And then the second one, I think it's just catching yourself. Like I remember this one. It was a Coin show. Coin is a band from Nashville, and it was a mall show in Greenbelt. And when I just caught myself like really just ripping it out and singing to their songs, I was like, man, I mean, there you are. I feel like I told that to myself, just catching myself like really enjoying the show and watching other people around me singing to the songs. And it's an unexplainable ecstasy, like a feeling of ecstasy, like high on the supply of music. So I'm sure you can relate. So what's your favorite moment?
I was surprised you didn't mention Phoenix Live in Manila.
Yeah, I feel like if people have been following the episodes, I'd be like, oh, she's there again. It's not over.
What I remember, because I couldn't actually get the tickets for Phoenix because I think it's sold out. This is the one I
Yeah.
think in, the show was in UP, right? I think. UP or no, Toyota, I think, right?
Yeah,
Event.
yeah. In yeah, just in besides in Cubao, Quezon City.
Right,
Forgot
so
where.
I couldn't get ticket, but what I remember from the show, there was this post somebody posted after the event that it was just a shot of the shoes of all the people who were there, and everybody was just wearing the same shoes, like Vans, like. I think you definitely noticed that everybody was just wearing the same model of Vans, right?
Yeah, oh my God, that's another podcast to discuss. Like how like what's a persona like, or like what's a typical concert goer like archetype like? We should, oh my gosh, yeah, we should do that. Like concert goer archetypes, and we would totally wing that.
It's like the. You know the concert going starter kit, like you know those
Yeah.
memes.
Like black shirt, jeans, and then the Vans shoes, the checkered ones.
Yeah, I mean I'm not making fun of them because I also have that
Oh
checkered
my God, exactly, that's me. I mean, right.
I bought the 50th anniversary shoe. They had a 50th anniversary shoe out, right? So
Yeah.
it's
Wow.
so I mean that shoe is all, it's very, it's sort of, as you said, it's like a symbol of, especially it's a symbol of pop rock, right? Like a lot of people who are pop punk, and that's kind of like But also I see some metalheads also wear that, but different models of van, but because vans also have like skaters, they promote that sort of lifestyle, right? So going back to my experience, I think one of the shows that really one of my favorite artists is Megadeth, and there was this 2017 show. I saw them in 2012, and but I don't remember the show that much because it's so long ago. But in 2017, they played in Pulp SummerSlam, and then I remember they were playing it, and then next day there was a Twitter update from the artist that he was actually suffering from kidney stones at that night. Wanted to actually he wa he was feeling of he was f feeling a lot of pain, so he wanted actually to cancel the performance, but he couldn't do it because there were so many people waiting to see them perform. So it's really very it got that really is special because I was able to see them like very close in the event. And it's yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like these people, what they go the struggle they go through, and to put up a show, put up a record and perform for us, I think sometimes we just take this lightly, right? We don't really, although we say we appreciate it, I don't think sometimes we really appreciate. We just thinking, or we are just buying something, but it's beyond that, right? Because this what the music and the shows they put out, there's more to that sort of product. It's more they put a part of their soul on on what they do, right?
Yeah. For sure. And I feel like the show is sort of the conclusion in a way, or like the product of what they've been working hard for and building up for. And just that's why maybe when they see like a crowd that super resonates with the band, or like they see the crowd really enjoying the show, it means like so much to them. And like they've greatly appreciated the rapport and like the response of the crowd.
Yeah, so I mean this has been a great conversation, and I'm getting quite kind of emotional also because remembering all these great experiences we had, and I'm hopeful that these things will come back. And for us to close this conversation, I just want to say to people who will listen to this podcast, I mean, support your artists, buy their music, and if there's a show near you, go and watch. Of course, stay safe and follow whatever precautions that need, but if you can go and support them, go and support, because they're really waiting for that, because the artists are missing this as well as much as the fans. So that's what I want to say. Lastly, Meg, what do you want to say to close the room?
Just to echo what Chana said, like let's all like for sure there's a light at the end of the tunnel on what's happening right now. And there are so many creative ways to experience music at home, and just maybe taking an album out when you take your daily walks, or like when you have your run in the morning. And just I think Spotify has this feature of simultaneously listening to a playlist with a friend. Like you can either one of you could control like a session. You can start a session and play like a curated playlist with a friend. So that's a very unique experience. So I think we can find like different ways on how we consume shows, concerts, and music these days. And of course, let's support our local artists, and I'm sure like it will be a memorable one once we are back with these live concerts. So thank you guys again for listening to this episode. We have a couple more lined up, but we've been moving very intuitively. Like we have brainstormed like a bunch of topics, but yeah, we'll go through the motions. Thank you for your support. If you could leave us a review, or if you want to reach out and ask us anything, feel free to message us at Omuso Music Podcast on Instagram. And Chana is Chana 3X, like letter 3 and X on Instagram. And I'm Meggy Capras, MeggyCapras on Instagram. So thank you guys for listening, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Thank you, Megs. See you.
Thank you. Bye.